Welcome to Tardei Melacha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek 15. The last Perek described the downfall of Nebuchadnezzar and had a masa about the Plishtim. This Perek and the next are a masa about Moab's destruction by Sancheriv. As we said before, according to the Das Sofrim, the masaos are not here to have the people of the other nations do tshuva. They are written as a nevuah for all times to teach us a lesson, the primary lesson being that the nations who treat Klal Yisrael poorly will be punished. Moab is a nation located to the east of the Jordan River. They have a long history with the Jewish people and will reconstitute as a nation before their final destruction by Nebuchadnezzar, which is described in Sefer Yirmiyahu and Sefer Yechezkel. Moab's history traces back to Avraham Avinu's nephew Lot. Moab was the son of Lot and his daughter, who was conceived after the destruction of Sodom when Lot's daughters thought the world was ending and they alone had to repopulate the planet. The relationship between Lot and Avraham had very positive aspects. Avraham saved Lot from the war of the four kings and the five kings, and Lot never revealed the true nature of the relationship of Sarah and Avraham when they visited Egypt and Gerar. With Avraham as his illustrious great-uncle, Moab had tremendous amounts of potential. He never realized that potential and decided instead to fight against the children of Avraham, rebelling against any positive expectations. As a testament to Moab's potential, David and Mashiach descend from Rus, a Moabi princess. Klal Yisrael was told to never attack Moab out of gratitude for Lot's loyalty to Avraham. When Bnei Yisrael were about to enter the lands of Canaan, they were told they needed to leave Moab alone, rather than conquer the land like they would do to the Canaanite nations. At this time, despite assurances that they would not be attacked, Moab tried to attack the Jewish people in a devious way. Moab sent Bilam, a prophet from Midian, to curse the Jews and hired women to get Klal Yisrael to sin with them. In addition, when the Jews were traveling, Moab did not greet them with water. Because of their lack of kindness, Klal Yisrael was commanded that they may never marry a Moabi man. At the time of the exodus from Egypt, Moab lived on the entire eastern bank of the Jordan River. Because Klal Yisrael could never attack, Hashem caused the Amori, another nation, to conquer part of the Moabi territory, which Moshe was then able to capture. Those lands were settled by Reuven, Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh. Moab was never happy with their neighbors to the west. During the time of the Shoftim, they attacked, until their king Eglon was killed by the Shofet Ehud. They continued to attack until they were subdued by David and became his vassals. After the kingdom split, Moab paid a large tribute to Yisrael until Moab rebelled against Ahav. When Tiglath-Pileser invaded the lands of Yisrael, Moab supported the invasion and helped them for 3 years until Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh were exiled from their lands. When Yisrael was exiled, Moab refused to allow the refugees into their territory as a safe haven. Although Moab cooperated with Ashur, Ashur turned around and conquered them. This parak outlines this conquest. Pasuk 1, Masa Moab. Here is the harsh nevuah about Moab. The attack from Ashur came suddenly. Kibalel Shudad Ar Moab Nidma. Ah, in the night Ar was sacked, Moab was ruined. Kibalel Shudad Kir Moab Nidma. In the night Kir was sacked, Moab was ruined. The two large cities, Ar and Kir, were attacked when everyone was sleeping, and they were clueless that they were in danger. The people in Moab were so shocked that they, Pasuk 2, Allah habayis vidivon habamos lebechi. They went up to the temple to weep, and those in Dibon went to the outdoor shrines to cry over the destruction. The conquest happened so suddenly that all they could do was mourn, that they couldn't even fight. They may have tried some service of their idols to help sway the attack, but it was already too late. The Chol Roshav Karcha Kol Zakan Grua. On every head is baldness, a sign of mourning, and every beard is shorn. They wore signs of mourning and cried loudly and publicly from the rooftops and in the streets. Pasuk 3. Kulo Yeyelil Yored Babechi. They all wail, sighing with weeping in public. All the large cities of Moab will mourn. The nation is demolished, and there is nothing for the army to do. While generally an army would wage a defense, it was hopeless for the army to try to fight. All that will be left for the soldiers to do will be for them to mourn as well. Balkain chalutze Moav yariu. Therefore, the armed soldiers of Moab will cry out, Nafsho yara lo. Its soul cries over themselves. Rav Schwab explains that Moab recognized to some extent that they were responsible for their own downfall, which is why the Pasuk says they are crying over themselves, they're taking the blame. They insisted on repatriating the lands that Moshe had conquered from the Amori that had originally been Moabi lands. Had they not insisted in moving into the lands of Reuven and Gad, they would not have been attacked. Despite Moab's cruelty and ingratitude to Klal Yisrael all these years, the Navi is not happy about this turn of events. The Navi says, Pasuk 5, Libi l'Moav Yitzak, my heart cries out for Moab. Hashem does not want to destroy any nation in the world. The ultimate goal of the world is for every nation to recognize Hashem. Pain and suffering is tragic when it happens to any human being. The Mishpatzot Zahav says that the Navi is particularly saddened by Moab's destruction, as Moab was a close relative to the Jewish people. They had so much potential to come close to Hashem, as can be seen from the fact that Mashiach descends from Moab as part of the house of David. The destruction of Moab is a destruction of any chance that they can bring their unique abilities to serve Hashem, which is a real tragedy. The Navi says he is mourning that this nation is being punished. Moab is compared to the best kind of cow, one that is 3 years old. Its land was filled with the best produce and the most productive animals. All that is left is a nation fleeing, crying, screaming on the roads, escaping their destruction. After describing what will happen to the people of Moab, the Navi now turns to describe what will happen to the ecology of the area. Moab was located to the east of the Jordan and included the lands near the Dead Sea. To the south of that area was Me Nimrim, the waters of Nimrim. These waters would become desolate. The water provided irrigation for the fertile pasture lands there. Without people to manage the pipes and repair the infrastructure, the whole water system dried up. Although this was the breadbasket of the region, Pasuk 6, Ki yavesh chatzir kala deshe, the grass is withered away, the herbs are gone. Yerek lo haya, vegetation is simply not there. The Mishpatzot Zahav said that this punishment of their land drying up came for a reason. Moav was supposed to have gratitude for all the help Avraham gave to Lot. Instead, when Klal Yisrael got out of Mitzrayim, Moab did not greet their cousins with bread and water. As a consequence, Mida Keneged Mida, measure for measure, Moab lost their own bread and water, which they should have shared with their family. Pasuk 7 describes the next stage of their punishment. Al Kain, therefore, next thing that's going to happen is Yisra Asa, the gains they have made, Ufkudosam and their stores, Al Nachal Ha'arvim Yisa'um. They will carry them to the Wadi of the Willows. According to the Mitzudas David, the Moavi had so much produce and so much livestock that they had a lot of wealth stored for the future. They had many gains that they had to do something with. But now that they were being exiled, they needed to carry that wealth with them. During the exile, Moav had to transport that which they stored and all of their wealth out of the area. They tried to hide their wealth from their captors, so it wouldn't be confiscated. The Mishpatzot Zahav says that this punishment also had a reason. Not only were Moab ungrateful to the children of Avraham and did not help them when they should have, they also tried to harm them by hiring Bilam to curse the Jewish people. For this reason, because they added bad, they did something wrong in payment of the good that Avraham did, they lost everything that they had added to their wealth over their years. The Navi next makes the destruction more real by describing the sounds and sights of the slaughter. First, he has us imagine what it would sound like. Pasuk 8, Ki hikifa haza'aka, the screams have circled as Gvul Moav, the boundaries of Moav. Everybody in Moav is being attacked. Ad Eglayim Yolasa, all the way to Eglayim you hear her wailing. Uve'er Elim Yolasa, even at Be'er Elim, which is in a distance, you can hear her wailing. Next, Yeshayahu gives us a visual image so we can imagine the extent of the slaughter. Pasuk 9, Kimei Dimon Mal'u Dam. for the waters of Dimon are full of blood. The slaughter will be so great that the river will change color. This will not be the end of the punishments of Moab. Sanherib was just stage one. After he exiles most of Moab and they rebuild, they are destroyed again by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is often symbolized as a lion, which is mentioned in the Pasuk. Ki ashis al Dimon nosafos. For I will bring yet more upon Dimon. Lifleitas Moav Aryeh. A lion is going to come upon the refugees, the remainders of Moab. Lishairis Adama, and upon the remnants of the land. In this parak, we learned about the destruction of Moab by Sanherib. Moab allied itself with Sanherib rather than helping their neighbor Yisrael survive the invasion by Ashur. As a result, they will be punished and nearly destroyed. This parak has an important lesson for all of us. We read in Pasuk 5 that Yeshayahu was upset that Moab was suffering. Jewish leaders do not enjoy or appreciate when enemies face destruction. Rav Schwab points out that this is a consistent theme in Jewish literature. Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei in chapter 24, which is then quoted in Pirkei Avos, chapter 4, Binful oivcha al tismach, uvi kashlo al yagel libecha. If your enemy falls, don't be happy. If he trips, let your heart not rejoice. While we can hope that we are saved, we don't want to harm others. The loss of human life is a tragedy. For this reason, Rav Schwab explains, we don't celebrate Purim on the day of the war when the Jews killed the sons of Haman. As Jews, we only commemorate the peace that existed the following day when we no longer had to fight. This is the difference between our leaders and the leaders of the rest of the world. Chazal say, Ra'a ma bein Nevi'ei Yisrael Nevi'ei av Ovdei Kochavim. Notice what is the difference between the Navi of the Jewish people and the Navi of idolaters. Our Nevi'im, Yirmiyahu, Yecheskel, and Yeshayahu, all mourn when other nations are in pain. In contrast, Moab hired Bilam, whose sole purpose was to inflict suffering on others without regard to them as people. We are left balancing the two needs. We must always protect ourselves. And we also want it to be clear that we can't hurt the Jewish people. But we still do not celebrate the destruction of others, as this is a characteristic of compassion that the Jewish people has, which is what sets us apart. Thank you for learning together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.